Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
WNYC is supported by Austria, home to 2,000 research facilities, 700 automotive design and assembly companies, 1,000 multinational companies, and Wiener Schnitzel. Well, although scientists have to eat something, learn more at experienceaustria.com. Adelphi University, presenting Claustrophobics January 30th in Adelphi's Performing Arts Center, part of Adelphi's Prestige Concert Series. Claustrophobics blends traditional klezmer, free jazz, and Macedonian folk tunes. Info at aupac.adelphi.edu.
And now the WNYC Tree of the Month Club.
Rapidophyllum hystrix, the needle or porcupine palm, a trunkless tree featuring long, sharp leaves, a hardy species capable of enduring temperatures as low as minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Use extreme caution when handling.
The Tree of the Month Club is brought to you by the WNYC Monthly Sustainer Program, which helps you save trees by eliminating the need for renewal notices and helps you save time because it's the most simple and effective way to support your favorite public radio station. For details, click on support at WNYC.org.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Why should Jets fans root for the Saints from New Orleans in the Super Bowl? Well, for one, they're playing the Colts, who beat the Jets in the AFC Championship game. So by the transitive property of sports allegiance, you root for the team that's playing the team that knocked your team out, right? But there's more. The Saints run to the Super Bowl maybe about much more than just football. It's a sort of redemptive moment for a city that has suffered so greatly over the last few years since Hurricane Katrina. And to discuss just how the Saints matter is Dave Cohen. He's the news director of WWL Radio in New Orleans, the flagship station for the Saints games in that area. Dave, thanks for joining us. Hello from New York.
Thank you and good morning.
So sell us on this idea. Convince us cynical New Yorkers that a sports team can bring a great American city back from disaster.
Well, I don't know if it can single-handedly do it, but it sure plays a big role. I mean, the Saints have always been an integral part of the whole culture here in New Orleans, at least for the last 43 years, but never so much as over the past 4 years. I mean, some of the most memorable moments in the post-Katrina recovery have been provided by the New Orleans Saints. The day the Superdome reopened, it was the first major rebuilding project after Katrina, and it reopened for a Monday night football game, the Saints against the rival Falcons. U2 and Green Day came to perform, and hundreds of thousands of people were just drawn to this game and to this event and to this reopening of one of the landmarks in New Orleans, the first one to reopen after Katrina, and the site of so much tragedy during Katrina. And it just had some amazing, collectively adhering effect on the entire community. And people came together and they celebrated it. Thousands of people who didn't even have tickets to the game just came to be outside of the Superdome for the event when the doors opened and people could return back in for such a great thing. And then the concert and the game and the Saints won it and had a magical season that year, made it to the NFC Championship game for the first time in their history. And since then, you know, this season going undefeated through 13 games, it permeated the entire community, followed by the two successful playoff games and now the first ever trip to the Super Bowl. Very little has been accomplished in New Orleans the last 5 days since the Saints advanced to the Super Bowl. People are going to work, but all they're doing is talking about the Saints while they're there. They're going to school, but teachers are having to tailor lesson plans to include discussions of the Saints because there's just no avoiding it. And there are even questions on how much will get done between now and then. And after the Super Bowl, will schools and offices be open the day after? The second day after is going to be a big parade for the Saints, so it's really something here.
When does Mardi Gras start? Afterwards?
Well, the Mardi Gras season officially began January 6th on the 12th night after Christmas. But the two big weekends of Mardi Gras are these next two weekends. The Super Bowl weekend is the first big weekend of the carnival celebration.
Wow, they coincide.
Yes.
Yikes.
And then Fat Tuesday is going to be 9 days after the Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're intertwined, and it's funny how the two have become, there's going to be so many Saints Saints-themed parades and floats, the Saints quarterback and coach and star players, even the owner of the team are going to be grand marshals or royalty in different crews of parading and different balls and events, and they've really been intertwined rather significantly.
We looked on your website, the WWL radio website, and we see, and you're a news station, not primarily sports, right?
And well, we're news, talk, and sports, but yes.
And the top seven stories, as we're looking at them, are about the Saints, and after that, there's a transcript of the State of the Union address, and then three more stories about the Saints.
We have tried desperately, you know, we do live and local talk all day long, and we have tried desperately to introduce other topics to get people to talk about, you know, the State of the Union, to talk about any of the other big national or world events, and generally the phones kind of go quiet when we do that. We bring up a Saints topic, and boom, all the lines light up again, and people are happy and want to talk. That's really all anybody in this community right now wants to talk about. They've never known what it's like to have a champion. They've never known what it's like to have a team that has such great success, dominant success, through so much of the season. And a community that's still struggling to rebuild, still struggling to get the needed dollars, and still struggling to do so many things. It just provides such a wonderful escape and a happy story and emotions that everyone can really enjoy. And it's from children to men, women, it all races. One of the neat things is, you know, despite ongoing, you know, discussions about race relations, and you look inside the Louisiana Superdome on game day, you see people of all races, ages, and genders. Religions, slapping high five, hugging and celebrating together.
Can anything come of that? Because certainly one of the things that Katrina exposed, at least from the perspective of those of us watching from other parts of the country, was a deep race, class, and economic divide in New Orleans.
You know, one of the things that's been noted here is Mardi Gras has always been a time when a lot of the races do, you know, a lot of the race relations things are kind of set aside and people come together. But the Saints have taken that to the nth level, I think, where, you know, you see, you know, the question is for a lot of people here, you may work with people of another race, but how often are they at your house? How often do you see them socially? Well, at these Super Bowl parties that are coming up and these playoff parties that have been had and celebrations in the French Quarter after Saints victories, even at the games, we're seeing people of all races intertwined socially. How much of a carryover effect can that have beyond that? You know, that's yet to be seen, but it sure can't hurt.
You can't get into a Jets game without paying, I don't know, probably... Well, I don't want to say what the lowest ticket price is because I don't really know. But can people from, you know, lower income groups go to a Saints football game? I realize not the Super Bowl, but during the regular season?
Well, it wasn't until just a couple of years ago that Saints tickets were actually in demand. They were always... did all right, but they we were subject to blackouts for decades because the Saints couldn't sell out the games in time. It's just in recent years where they've had this success where they've actually seen sellouts. Now, there is like 35,000 people on the waiting list now for Saints tickets, but the lowest ticket on a per-game basis, and you have to be a season ticket holder, but they did sell some tickets for $25 per game to season ticket holders and $40 per game in some of the, you know, higher areas of the Superdome. And I'll tell you, I've attended every one of the games this season, and there's rich, there's poor, there's black, there's white, and everything else there. And they have amongst the lower prices in the NFL. And folks find a way here, even though, you know, we're talking about one of the most impoverished cities in the most impoverished state in the country. People have found a way. You know, they've always found a way to fund Mardi Gras. They find a way to fund their tickets to the Saints, and it really does bring folks together across all socioeconomics.
And just for the record, in the new stadium that's opening in the Meadowlands, the cheapest seat for a Jets game is going to be $90 for upper end zone. And we're looking up the Giants right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, they still got some. I don't know what's going to happen next season after this success. The Saints haven't announced ticket prices for next year. But we do know now that there are season ticket holders who pay $25 to $40 a game.
And just paint the picture on the ground in the city before you go. Where are people going to watch the game who aren't going to the actual Super Bowl? What kind of rituals do you have in New Orleans around a big game?
Well, you know, of course, in the French Quarter is where folks who really want to celebrate are going to be gathering. We saw that for the playoff games for those folks who did not have tickets to the game, where they gather in restaurants, bars, even hotels, and anywhere else they can find in the French Quarter, because afterwards, if you want to party and you want to celebrate in New Orleans, obviously that's where you do it. But we're also finding all throughout the city and the suburbs people putting together big groups of parties. People are setting up outdoor screens so people can gather to watch them in parks and various and sundry different places. And, you know, people are just getting really excited about making those arrangements. And here it always involves food. So much of the discussion is not only where are you watching it, but what are you going to be eating and who's making it. And, you know, folks are getting their shrimp and their crawfish and their oysters and their gumbo and their jambalaya and everything, you know, ready to go for Super Bowl Sunday. And the menu is almost equally as important as the venue.
You got a prediction to make?
The Saints have as much talent as any team in the NFL. Obviously, they won 13 games during the regular season, two games in the playoffs. If they play the kind of football that we've seen them play, particularly in the game against the Cardinals, we're going back to say the game against the Jets, or the Giants for that matter, they have plenty of talent. They can get it done. They can definitely beat Indianapolis, which is obviously a very good team as well, and one that New Orleanians have followed for a long time, as Peyton Manning is a native son of New Orleans. We're expecting a great game, and whichever team makes fewer mistakes, I think that's which team is going to win. It could go either way, but, you know, if you believe Drew Brees, the Saints quarterback, he believes it is destiny for the Saints to win this game, that it is time for the people of New Orleans to know that kind of joy and to bring a championship home. So he says it's destiny for the Saints to win. I'm not going to argue with him.
Well, I said it before. I'll say it one more time. We here at the Brian Lehrer Show hereby release all Jets fans to root for the Saints in the Super Bowl, because it's good to bring back New Orleans. Dave Cohen, news director of WWL Radio in New Orleans, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Good luck.
Thank you very much.